we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank Him, and we bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. The most wise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His wisdom is a process to discover. It is a discovery process. During that discovery process, we get closer to Him and we know Him and recognize Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the little things, by the way, you might say, why don't we have a holy image just like everybody else? They have a holy image or a holy picture or a holy symbol like a cross or a holy image like picture of Jesus or anything like that. You might think, what is the wisdom for not having this? And if you look what happened to our cousins, the Christians, then you will understand fully the wisdom of Allah not allowing us to have a holy image of some kind. Probably we will end up worshipping an Arab-looking image of God, just like they ended up worshipping a European Caucasian image of God. And it becomes racism. I mean, when this image is European Caucasian, blue eyes, blonde hair, and when this image is, and when the Pope is always European Caucasian, so it becomes a question now, is it a supremacy of one race over another? And why this race? Why not Chinese image of God? Why not Indian image of God? So we will end up worshipping an Arab-looking image of God, and hopefully it's not going to look like Bin Laden because this is the big beard or something like that. But anyway, the reason is because the long beard is very famous, you know, and the way, you know, the more you make the beard, the longer you make the beard, some people think it's a sign of righteousness, and the turban and all of these things. And we were talking last week about somebody who is asked one of the scholars. He said, what is the sunnah dress? The dress that is considered to be close to the sunnah. And then the shirt and the pants, like here? He said, no, the sunnah dress is the dress that covers from the knee to the belly button. He realized what this man is after. So he said, yes, I understand. I'm not asking about the awrah, the shameful portion that has to be covered. I'm asking about the sunnah. He said, the sunnah is to wear a dress, any dress, that covers between the belly button and the knee. And the lesson or the message that he wanted to give him is that it doesn't matter. There is no specific image that you know, that you have to follow. He wanted to he wanted a certain image that to say this should be the image of the Muslim. A long beard, a turban, things like that. No, that's not true. So that's the message that he wanted to give him, that anything that is within the boundaries of halal and haram is okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is clear. He wants His moral values to be the governing values on this earth. He wants them to be a reality. He doesn't want them to be just ink on paper. And this issue is very important. A lot of people do say that if you guys look at any religion or any way of life and you read what is written, wow, you get impressed, mashallah. What is this? You read, for example, communism, the rights of the proletariat, and fairness and justice. Wow, on paper it looks really good, right? Now you look at the land of reality, it is awful. You look at the idealism in Christianity, for example. Wow, it looks good. If your brother slaps you on your left cheek, give him your right cheek and say, please, my right cheek is jealous from my left cheek. So please slap my right cheek so that they are not jealous from one another. So in other words, this is idealism, no divorce. Now, then they come and say, okay, Islam is the same thing. When you look on the text on paper, mashallah, what is this? The moral values of Allah should be the ones to be followed, to be implemented of the land of reality. What is this? Utopia? Indeed, of course, the dream of having an ethical, perfect, peaceful life has been a dream. And this is why people dream the utopia. And actually, to be, I came from Indiana, and there is a city in Indiana. The name is not attending my brain right now, but inshallah it will come to me. But there is a city that was initially built to be utopia. It's a village there. They built it intending to be utopia. So the guy who made it, he was very selective in letting people come into his village. Okay, so he had to turn away people. And in the process of turning away people, it's not utopia anymore. Because you have to be mean to reject people who are... So where is utopia then? And then, of course, he failed at the end, of course, as you know. Because utopia is not practical. So what is the... What is the... why? What? How Islam is any different? And then it goes even further than that and says, well, if Islam... If what you have is better than what we have, what are you doing here? Why did you leave Egypt and come here? Why did you leave Pakistan and come here? Why did you leave India and come here? What are you doing here? Why do you have to wait in long lines in front of the immigration office to get the visa? And why, when you come here, you have to do things that, you know, a lot of things to get the visa. Perhaps fake some paperwork. Perhaps do a fake marriage. Perhaps do all of these things to get the visa. Why is that? You are saying that what you have is better. And indeed, this is a very important question. We need to see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prescribing these moral values in relation to the answer of this question. How come is Islam any different than utopia? Is Islam any different than these other religions and ways of life that has idealism that looks very good on paper and does not match the reality? If Islam is that good, what are you doing here? Okay? And show me one country where what is written on paper is really applied in the land of reality. And the answer is very simple. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed those moral values, they are very practical. The difference between the moral system in Islam and the moral system in any other religion or way of life is, in Islam, it is very, very practical. It deals with the human nature and does not dream up a scenario that is impossible to implement, does not dream up a utopia, does not dream up slap me on the right and here's my left, does not dream up don't divorce, does not, it's very, very practical. For example, what happens in the issue of don't divorce? The Islam comes, deals with this issue deals with the human nature as it exists in the land of reality, and divorce is allowed. It is the worst halal, as the Prophet ﷺ said, أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. The worst halal in the eyes of Allah is talaq. It's worse. I mean, make it the last, but it's permissible. Because we have seen before that when you bump heads with the laws of nature are going to break your head. And the fact that people need to divorce is one of the laws of nature, because this is our nature. Sometimes a marriage that happens with two people, these two brains, her brain and his brains, don't fit together. Totally different brains. Always bumping heads. So at the end, you need to end this marriage, and this is reality. Okay, let's see what happens, how Islam is very practical when dealing with the issue of fighting. In Surah Al-Hujurat, for example, what does Allah say? Allah says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. Allah said, if two groups of believers, and Allah has called both groups believers. If two groups of, he didn't say bad guys, bad Muslims, he said, believing Muslims, believers, mu'minina, اقتتلوا, fight. Then what to do? فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Work hard in bringing peace between them and fixing the problems. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. Fairly, if you arbitrate, and then you arrive to an arbitration, and one group doesn't want to listen, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيَا إِنْ عَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Then that group who doesn't want to listen, who doesn't want to accept justice, you join the other group and fight that group until they wake up to the justice, to the fairness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed. They wake up and they accept it as a reality and accept that. فَإِنْ فَاءَتْ Once they wake up and they accept that justice and that arbitration, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا Continue making good into between them and try to make them go back to like each other. وَأَقْسِطُوا And be fair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ For Allah loves the ones who are fair. Very, very practical. I see a lot of the brothers, they overreact when they see two Muslims fighting. In the masjid, for example, or two Muslims disagreeing. They overreact and say, oh my God, you know, that's not Islam. Well, yes, Islam doesn't like that and does not encourage that, for sure. But don't overreact. I mean, husband and wife at home fight, right? I mean, when you see two Muslim brothers are fighting in the masjid, remember that. How many times you had fight with your wife at home? And here we go, a Muslim brother and Muslim sisters, or the Muslim sister, are fighting at home, right? So it happens, reality. So it is not, don't overreact and say, no. It happens, it's a human nature. And they are not bad Muslims or anything like that. These are just humans. And Islam does not encourage that. So go ahead and do what Allah said by trying to bring in peace between them. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, shall I tell you about something? If you do, it is better than staying, making i'tikaf in my masjid for 70 months or number of months, I forgot the number, but X months or X month. They said, what Prophet Muhammad? He said, if you bring peace and love between two Muslims who are disputing. Disputing between, I mean, if you go and lying is permissible, lying is haram, but it's permissible in three occasions. One of those occasions is if you're lying to bring peace between two Muslims who are fighting. Like I go to him and say, oh brother, brother Ahmed, let's say brother Ahmed and brother Saeed are fighting. Oh brother Ahmed, brother Saeed is talking very positively about you behind your back. And he says, even though we are disputing, but the brother Ahmed has the best manners, and then you go to the other side and you say the same thing. So they end up liking each other. Permissible. Only lying in this position permissible. Three occasions lying are permissible. Number one, if you say to your wife, you are the most beautiful woman on the face of the earth. It says, Hadith al-Rajuli ila ahli. Hadith al-Rajuli ila ahli means like, oh my God, I love you more than I love myself. And you're a liar. you are more beautiful than the moon. That one, you're not lying, because humans are usually more beautiful than these rocks and things like that. And then the second case is the case when you're making good and fixing the problems between two brothers. And then the third case is during the war. If you're arrested as a prisoner of war, and the enemy is saying, how many soldiers do you have? Don't say, no, lying is haram, I should say the truth. Okay, 1,500,000? No, don't do that. Fake a number, say a number which is wrong. Mislead the enemy. These are the three occasions where lying is permissible. And you can see the practicality of this moral system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see a lot of wisdom in the moral system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. Dealing with the issue of if somebody assaulted you, in Christianity it says, love your enemies. What do you mean love my enemy? Yeah, love your enemies. What do you mean love my enemy? And when you set the standards very high, guess what happens? Like the person who killed the 99 and he was told that he cannot repent. What did he do? He said, let's make it 100. It doesn't hurt. Hell. I'm going to hell anyway. And he made them 100. When you set the standard very high, it's very unwise. Because a lot of people say, we are not going to be able to reach that anyway. They will drop it altogether. Drop it. You know? And I've seen a Muslim who attended the khutbah where the Imam was talking about feeling the sweetness of the faith. Now, feeling the sweetness of the faith, that's a very high level. You don't reach to this level until he said three conditions. he explained the hadith of the Prophet that there are three things if you achieve the sweetness of the faith. One of them, for example, it says, if Allah and His Messenger is more loved by you than anything else. Practically, if you have a choice between the love of Allah, a business that includes the business of Allah, and your personal business, okay, you drop your personal business and you pay, you take care of the business of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a very high level of faith that nobody around here can achieve. And then the other two conditions are very difficult to achieve. And this brother came out and said, you know, Islam is very difficult. Islam, I mean, how can we reach that? Oh man, you know. So, you know, we explained to this brother that this is Iman, a high level. Islam is just the five pillars. This is the minimum. And between them, there is a room for you to improve. And this hadith does not describe a pillar of Islam. It is just describing a level that go ahead and try to achieve. If you can't, you're still a good Muslim. Nobody is saying that you have to be at that level. And then the hadith of the Prophet, Ad-Din Yusr. Islam is easy. Islam is very simple. I mean, submission to Allah instead of submission to temptations. Temptations, reject what your temptations call you to. Be a Muslim to Allah. Submissive to Allah, don't be a Muslim to temptation, means submissive to temptations. That's it. Selfishness, when you feel selfish, dismiss the feeling and do what is right. When you feel greedy, dismiss the feeling and feel what is right. Selfishness, greed, arrogance, ego, and that's as simple as that. And then perform the five pillars, who are training exercises, that tools that allow you to conquer your temptations and be in control of your temptations, and don't let your temptations be in control of you. It's as simple as that. And then there are levels. If you would like to go higher and climb and get a higher floor in Jannah, there are floors in Jannah, a lot of floors. And if you would like to go up, you know, there's a room for that. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you cannot defeat Islam. The more you ask Islam, the more Islam will give you. Okay, keep praying. No problem, Islam will tell you, okay, there are floors if you keep praying. Keep giving a charity, there are floors. Islam will accommodate you. You can never prevail over what Islam can offer. إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَتِينَ فَأَوْغِلُوا فِيهِ بِرِفْقٍ وَلَنْ يُشَادَ أَحَدٌ الدِّينَ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. This Islam, the fabric of Islam is very strong. Okay, so when you go into Islam, go with baby steps, because you can never exhaust what Islam asks. You can never exhaust them. There's a lot and plenty of things to ask for. So at the very end, the final conclusion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if somebody slaps you on your right cheek, what do you do? The rule is simple. Okay, you have choices. The choice of, what did you say?
Slap him back.
That's the first choice. Is the choice of justice or the choice of graciousness? Either the choice of justice or the choice of graciousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. The ones when they are assaulted, they seek justice. And they take fair revenge. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. And the fair revenge for a harm is an equal harm. Then, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whomsoever forgives, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to reward him for his forgiveness. But here are your choices. And sometimes, there are two kinds of people. There is somebody who is generous in manners. And he made a mistake. And he said a bad word about you, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. He was in a bad mood or something happening with him. But he's made of a high quality. He's a good guy. Then this guy, honest to God, you must really forgive. You should forgive. But there's another guy. The more you forgive him, the more he takes advantage of you. The more you forgive him, the more he takes that as a sign of weakness, and he keeps going. For this guy, no. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Stop him right there. And it's not fair not to stop him because he is going to continue doing that for you and for others. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.
How many minutes?
Oh. Was our
allowance today? Did you make it correctly?
Oh, 20 minutes.
Yeah? You asked 1 minute.
No, 20 minutes exactly.
1 minute. No.